This is the shape of Texas.
Drive along Interstate 10 between San Antonio and Houston and get ready for a surprise. Just west of Columbus, two monumental farms made of red brick rise like bridge abutments on either side of the highway. Actually, they're the facilities of the Colorado County Safety Rest Area, and there's something new in rest stop design. Architects David and Elizabeth Chu Richter based their design on the disappearing bridges of Colorado County.
They have been torn down. We thought by creating this image of the bridge abutment, you kind of recall some of that which was part of the history of this area.
The project was built for TxDOT, the Texas Department of Transportation. That agency has spent millions of dollars to improve rest areas statewide. The goal? Give motorists a nice place to stop and to linger, and chances are they'll return to the road refreshed. The Colorado County site is a magnet for cars and trucks. Here, beneath the archways of the buildings, are tile murals rendered with a playful twist. Elizabeth Chu Richter.
If you stand at just the right place and you look up, all of a sudden this mythical bridge appears.
As the workers were setting the tile, they discovered yet another surprise coming right at them.
Every now and then, they want to kind of see what's there, so they jump off the scaffolding, and all of a sudden they discover that, whoa, this is a truck, you know.
The rest area is built with low-maintenance materials, such as Core 10 steel.
Because that is a material that is often used by the highway department, that is durable and that is also representative of transportation.
The unique architecture appears to connect the two sides of the rest area across the highway.
This particular site almost has this neighborly quality that kind of brings a sense of community, the traveling community.
Most 19th century Texas County courthouses stand in the middle of a square, but not in Big D. When John Neely Bryan founded Dallas in the 1840s, he reserved an entire block for a courthouse, but it was built on a corner so it wouldn't disturb his cornfield. Four courthouses stood on that site and burned down. For the fifth, completed in 1893, architect M.A. Orlop chose the Richardsonian Romanesque style. It was four stories and massive, reflecting Dallas County's ambition. Orlop used rusticated blue-gray granite for the first floor and the window trim, and red sandstone for the upper floors and the clock tower, hence the enduring nickname Old Red. Arched entryways and windows and round turrets suggested a fortress. Inside were a cast-iron staircase, two elevators, granite wainscoting, white oak woodwork, and six courtrooms. Grand as it was, Old Red saw tough times in the 20th century. The clock tower swayed and was removed in 1919. Multiple renovations further masked the building's character. Over time, county offices moved to other places, leaving the courthouse vacant by the mid-1980s. But county officials were determined to save Old Red. With public and private funds, they launched a six-year, $40 million restoration of the courthouse, which would become a museum. The project was completed in 2007. Lacking original plans or drawings, restoration architect James Pratt sought clues.
We had to work in reverse. We used a few early photographs as a starting point. Then we watched for telltale signs of the original design as we peeled away layers of renovation.
Pratt found replacement red sandstone in Utah. He used wood from aged cypress beer vats to recreate the original windows. The 90-foot-tall clock tower was rebuilt with period clockworks and a 4,500-pound bell. Today, one courtroom contains replicas of the judge's bench, juror's box, and spectator seating. The others house interactive exhibits of the Old Red Museum of Dallas County History and Culture.
Of wooden buildings into one of the nation's finest concentrations of Art Deco stone structures. Of the 50 new buildings constructed for the exposition, 21 were permanent. Dallas architect George Dahl of the firm Green LaRoche and Dahl was the chief designer of the $25 million project. Paul Cray, a well-known architect from Philadelphia, served as design and consultant. Dahl combined architecture and art in a style he called Texanic. He described it as modern, flavored with the condiments of Egypt and archaic Greece, and finally seasoned with the warmth and sunshine of the Southwest. The Art Deco temples Dahl designed and that remain today include pavilions, an auditorium, theater, and several museums. They were both classic and modernistic, with crisp geometric lines, cream-colored masonry exteriors with colorful trims, bold murals depicting Texas history, and massive sculpture. The landscaped grounds boast fountains, an esplanade, and a reflecting pool and a lagoon. The most visually striking building is the Hall of State, once said to be the costliest building per square foot ever constructed in Dallas. The neoclassic exterior is made of limestone. Inside, red marble floors are inlaid with squares depicting Texas plants and animals. Every surface showcases craftsmanship in metalwork, bas-relief, and murals, all depicting Texas themes and motifs. After the exposition, Fair Park fell into disrepair. In 1985, the city of Dallas renovated the 277-acre park, and improvements have continued periodically. Fair Park was listed as a national landmark on the National Register of Historic Places in 1986.
For half a century, North Central Expressway in Dallas was a narrow and winding road where either traffic halted at rush hour or whizzed by at dangerous speeds. Not anymore. After a 9-year makeover, the expressway is an 8-lane model of highway engineering enhanced by landscaping and architectural design. The divided north-south roadway extends 10 miles from downtown to the LBJ Freeway. Bridges linking the east and west sides of the expressway were designed and rebuilt with the immediate neighborhood in mind. Flags, sculptures, and monuments signal points of interest. Some 400,000 trees and shrubs are tucked into every available sliver of land, making the urban freeway the most heavily landscaped highway in Texas. Honeysuckle, yucca, and bald cypress soften an otherwise harsh environment. Access ramps have column motifs that accentuate entrances and exits. Sound-absorbing walls include angular wedges and washboard treads. Sculpted flyover ramps disperse traffic and keep it flowing. The project carries a $500,000 price tag, $1 billion when combined with the cost of Dallas Area Rapid Transit, whose light rail cars zip through tunnels 80 feet below the highway. North Central Expressway reflects the vision of the architects and engineers, both with the firm HOK and with the Texas Department of Transportation, who created an infrastructure sensitive to urban design. The Texas Society of Architects has recognized their efforts with an award for design. The reconstruction of North Central Expressway used 17,000 tons of steel and enough concrete to build a 5,000-mile sidewalk. The project was finished ahead of schedule and under budget. When it was completed in 1999, Dallas celebrated with a parade down the expressway. Mention Dallas to non-Texans, and they're likely to think big, brassy, new, and bright. But there's also another side to Big D, a concern for preservation, thanks in large part to the Swiss Avenue Historic District, 2 miles northeast of downtown. Formed in 1973, it became the first residential historic district in Dallas. With input from residents, the City Planning Department, and a group that's now called Preservation Dallas, the Swiss Avenue Historic District has become a model of community involvement to preserve the built environment. The 140-acre neighborhood was built from 1905 through the 1920s, and Swiss Avenue was its main artery. It was the vision of developer R.S. Munger, who wanted to establish the premier residential community in the South. Planning was precise. 200 homes, representing 16 architectural styles, were to be built under strict design guidelines. They had to be 2 stories, set back at least 60 feet from the street, and cost $10,000 minimum. Dallas architects Hal Thompson, Lang and Wichel, and Bertram Hill designed residences in the neighborhood, setting the standard for quality. Styles include prairie and craftsman, Tudor, Italian Romanesque, neoclassical, and Georgian Revival. Inviting porches, overarching shade trees, lush gardens, and street lamps added to the ambiance and appeal. But changing lifestyles and the growth of suburbs after World War II eventually threw the neighborhood into decline, transforming mansions into apartments, brothels, and even dog kennels. Preservation guidelines and land use ordinances have put the shine back on the area and contributed to the historic district designation, but the players are as important as the process and the outcome. A marker in the Swiss Avenue Historic District recognizes Preservation Dallas as the catalyst that touched the heart and changed the mind of the city about the value of revitalizing a historic neighborhood.
Arts District is home to one of the last great concert halls built this century, the Morton H. Meyerson Symphony Center. Designed by renowned architect I.M. Pei, the Meyerson's design has been described as music for the eyes. Pei created a massive box of 22,000 limestone blocks inset with huge convex windows rising from ground level. Inside, expansive lobbies and soaring open spaces communicate a feeling of swelling music. The building's centerpiece is the Eugene McDermott Concert Hall, which seats more than 2,000. Finished with terrazzo floors and cherrywood paneling, the hall feels intimate with a shoebox stage design surrounded by seating. The focal point is one of the world's largest concert organs with more than 4,500 pipes. Acoustician Russell Johnson of New York was hired to make the hall acoustically perfect. He placed a 30-foot-tall reverberation chamber at the top of the hall with concrete doors that open and close. Thick fabric curtains can be drawn over the walls to absorb sound. A system of canopies weighing 42 tons and suspended above the stage can be raised and lowered. These adjustable elements customize the sound for each performance. Public and private funds paid for the $81.5 million Symphony Center, which opened in 1989. Dallas businessman Ross Perot contributed $10 million, stipulating that the building be named for Morton H. Meyerson, then president of Electronic Data Systems, the computer services firm Perot founded. The Meyerson is home to the Dallas Symphony Orchestra, but true to Pei's wishes, it's also become part of the larger community. Banquets, weddings, meetings, even memorial services have been held there. The American Institute of Architects recognized the Meyerson in 1991 with an honor award.
Ray Nasher and his late wife, Patsy, began collecting modern and contemporary sculpture in the 1960s. They sought high-quality work and something more. Each piece had to connect with them personally and give them butterflies. It worked. The Nashers built the finest private collection of sculpture in the world, more than 350 works by modern masters such as Picasso, Calder, Henry Moore, and Giacometti. Eventually, museums near and far courted Nasher, but he decided to build his own museum to keep the collection in Dallas. In 2003, the $70 million Nasher Sculpture Center opened in the downtown Arts District. Renowned architect Renzo Piano designed the center as a pavilion in a garden. It's practically transparent. Six parallel walls of polished Italian travertine enclose five galleries. Glass walls look out on the garden to the north and to Flora Street on the south, beckoning pedestrians inside. Each gallery is 16 feet high. The ceiling roof above them is constructed of ultra-clear glass with a slight barrel vault and suspended by stainless steel cables. It's a striking contrast, a high-tech solution anchored to ancient walls, which Piano expresses as ruins. The glass is shaded by a white aluminum cheese grater, oriented to the exact longitude and latitude of Dallas to allow only benign northern light inside. Exterior travertine walls are sandblasted, enhancing the metaphor of the ruins. They meld with the garden designed by Peter Walker. Here, rows of live oak, cedar elm, and magnolia trees complement the arrangement of the gallery walls. The trees provide shade, shadow, and orienting views for enormous pieces of sculpture strategically placed outdoors. Together, the art, architecture, and landscape of the Nasher Sculpture Center are such a stunning blend that visitors, like the collectors, have a visceral response. Awe in their hearts and in their stomachs, butterflies. Walking neighborhood, just 5 miles from the skyscrapers and concrete of downtown Dallas. It was developed in the 1920s on farmland as a suburb unlike any other in the nation. Architect David Williams designed the master plan for Greenway Parks. The 150-acre tract, which lies between University Boulevard and Mockingbird Lane, included home sites for 300 families connected by private parkways. it was the first pedestrian-oriented neighborhood in Dallas. Greenway Parks is organized along a wide north-south boulevard with graceful Y-shaped parks at either end. Gently curving tree-lined streets bisect the boulevard and alternate with the common parkways. These common greenbelts gave the neighborhood its name. Unlike the traditional grid pattern of streets with alleys, they also provided a communal connection to the residential sites. The earliest homes in Greenway Parks were designed with the formal entrances facing the parkway and the service and garage entrances facing the street. Deed restrictions and ordinances controlled the use of fences and mandated setbacks to create a strong sense of order. All of these guidelines were intended to encourage neighborly interaction, a friendly strolling environment, and suburban tranquility. Some of the finest architects in Dallas designed homes in Greenway Parks. They include O'Neill Ford, Howard Meyer, and Fuchsian Cheek, who also designed the nearby Highland Park Village Shopping Center. Although the styles of the homes vary from Spanish Revival to international modern with Bauhaus influences, attention to scale, respect for neighbors, and a delightful rhythm characterize the streetscape. In 2002, the Texas Society of Architects named Greenway Parks as one of the 25 best places in Texas. After more than 70 years, the area continues to attract second and third generation families to one of the premier neighborhoods in Dallas. Dancing light and shadow. The building is a U-shaped tower set on a three-story base. This design brought natural light and air into the offices. An arched bridge spans the tower's wings at the 18th floor. In 1934, Magnolia Petroleum erected a revolving rooftop sign outlined in red neon. It depicted Pegasus, the winged horse of Greek mythology, and the company's logo. Actually, there were two 30-by-50-foot horses mounted 14 feet apart. A joke at the time was that, with this design, no one could call Dallas a one-horse town. Pegasus was visible for miles, and it became the most recognizable symbol of Dallas. Magnolia Petroleum eventually became part of Mobil Oil, which moved its headquarters out of downtown during the 1970s. New owners refitted the Magnolia building for multiple tenants. In 1992, the building's subsequent owners went bankrupt, and the historic tower stood empty and was in danger of demolition. Denver developer Steve Holtz bought the building in 1998. He spent $40 million to transform it into the 300-room Magnolia Hotel, complete with a reconstructed sign of Pegasus on top. Once again, the tower and its flying red horse are symbols of Dallas civic pride. They also represent hope for the city's historic core. Dallas in 1965, it was heralded not only as an upscale shopping center, but also for its art installations and architecture. North Park was the most ambitious project to date of Dallas developer and renowned art collector Raymond Nasher. He envisioned the mall with a unity similar to a piece of sculpture, of a single material and form. He wanted to create an aesthetically pleasing environment to house high-quality retail space. Unlike other shopping centers, this one also would provide public spaces for art. Here, Nasher would display major works from his collection of modern sculpture and paintings. So Nasher assembled a team of architects and designers that included Kevin Roach of Arrow Saarinen and Associates, who designed North Park's Neiman Marcus store, and E.G. Hamilton of the Dallas firm Omniplan. The team chose an L-shaped design in the austere international style of architecture. They used one unifying material, pale yellow brick. In the tradition of prairie-style architecture, common in north-central Texas, North Park was built low to the ground and horizontally, 1 million square feet of enclosed space, climate-controlled. It was the largest, most modern shopping center of its kind. Its innovations also included a naturally lighted promenade, live plants, plazas, and fountains. Over the years, shoppers have seen sculptor George Siegel's realistic bronze called Rush Hour and large sculptures by Alexander Calder. This combination of form and function with public access to art makes North Park Mall in Dallas uncommon among Texas shopping centers and a work of art in its own right, which is why the American Institute of Architects recognized the mall as an outstanding regional project of the 1960s. Texas Architect Magazine, and the Texas Society of Architects at texasarchitect.org.